The path to a better life begins with a simple step. Empower Radio presents Simple Steps, Real Change with Cheryl Maloney. Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Cheryl Maloney.
Well, hi, everyone. Welcome to today's show. Have you ever had an experience in your life where you just really wondered if you could keep your head above water? Did you lose your job and wonder how you were going to pay the bills, let alone how you were going to get another job? Or maybe suddenly a relationship ended that you thought would go on forever. It's so important to try and stay positive in the wake of all of the negativity, but it's really hard to keep your head up and feel excited about the future when you've just been hit with a major blow. Well, my guest today has this wonderful perspective, and she writes a column for Simple Steps Real Change magazine called A Better Way. And Robbie Adkins is one of those folks that, as I listen to her, she is this voice of positivity and common sense and practicality. So as we're dealing with all of our life challenges, it's so great to have a friend, a person you can turn to that can give you that common sense, a better way approach. Robbie, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
I'm good. I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Well, this is kind of, we were talking a little before the show, this is kind of like an amazing day and experience because you in your own life have just experienced one of these major life challenges, and that's your husband losing his job at the age of 60.
Yeah, 3 days from being 60. Yesterday afternoon, he was terminated, so I think I have a great opportunity here to practice, you know, staying positive for his sake. He's got to go through some grieving. Of course, I go through grieving for him, but I have to keep feeding him. You know, I just think there's something better out there for him. He hasn't liked this job. It's been, his boss was demeaning him all the time. He had to travel a lot. It wasn't really good. It paid really well, but so now I get to really do this, don't I?
Well, and out of curiosity, how long had he worked with this company?
2.5 years.
Okay. So he's in, he's working, you know, and that's security because, like you said, he's being paid well. You've got a lot of security. And now at age 60, he's got to go out and find something new, whether that's a traditional job or take it in a different path. How is he dealing with just the shock?
Well, he is in shock. He's literally in shock. You know, he kind of thought it might be coming. They actually, he's a salesperson, commissioned salesperson, but they give him a good base. But a few months ago, they made him sign a letter that said, if you don't meet these sales goals by the end of the quarter, you can be terminated. Or at any time prior to that, if it's deemed you're not trying hard enough. Well, gosh,
oh,
he tried so hard, but he carried this threat hanging over him, and then they didn't even give him to the end of the quarter. He just called yesterday and said, okay, bye-bye. So
You're done. And that happens, I mean, it happens, unfortunately, it happens far too often, whether it's that particular circumstance or something like you were saying you had a friend and all of a sudden the relationship was over. And I know one day, you know, everything was fine, and the next day my husband had cancer. I mean, so we encounter these major life-changing events, and that shock period is something, I don't know about you, but I personally believe we all need to go through that shock and feel those feelings instead of just trying to pop up and be as positive as we can at that moment. We have to allow ourselves to feel. What's your thought on that?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I got some information in my meditation this morning for him and said, you know, take your grieving period, but then by Monday, you start rebuilding yours. You have till Monday. But my friend Ronnie Marie and I came up with, we studied Abraham for, gosh, since way back when there were 20 people there. And so there's a tendency in studying that to not face the grief of a situation to say, oh, I'm not going to look at that. I'm going to look at what I want. But Ronnie and I came up with acknowledging it and then releasing it and then focus on what you want. And as many times as you have to do that, you have to go through the grieving process. Otherwise, you'll just put it somewhere in your body and it'll come out as a disease later. So, you know, and to put on the happy face is, that's just not real. It's not real. So, yeah, I agree. But I think the skill is bouncing back as quickly as possible, you know, acknowledging it truly, deeply. This hurts me because, and explore that. This hurts me because it threatens my security. I'm worried about losing my house. It, you know, go to the bottom of the barrel of what that scares in you. And then you can, like I was saying this earlier this morning, it's like the ball being pushed down under the water, pushed down, and then you let go and it pops back up to the surface again in a new way. So, you know, I absolutely believe in doing the grieving process. Although I did just have another experience. I wrote about it in my column that I had this table outdoors that I had made with my parents' china, and I had put hours into making this table 10 years ago, but I didn't seal the wood underneath and it started falling apart a little bit. So I turned it over and poured resin on the bottom. And when I flipped it back up, all the tile stayed on the ground. It just completely disintegrated. And I thought, oh, I'm taking pictures. I'm going to put this on Facebook. And then I went, no, absolutely not. This is not the reality of what this is going to be. The reality is going to be you're going to put it back together. And it took me a week of working on it every day, and it was painstaking. And luckily, my hobby is doing puzzles on the on Facebook. And so I know how to, you know, fit pieces together. And as a graphic designer, I fit pieces together. So I just never gave into that acceptance. And so in that case, it was better that I didn't, because I could see through to it being fixed. And I just never got upset. I just got to work. So there, you know, each situation is unique, I think.
I love the power in this, because there were a couple things that you just said there. And yes, you're sitting there, you're looking at this table that is just in pieces, or you're looking at your husband's job or your friend's relationship or whatever the case may be, and you can see it broken. But when you shift, as you suggest, when you shift to what do you want it to be about and go there instead of going to the pieces all over the ground, it gives you hope, which you may not have had at that instant that it fell.
Yeah, no, absolutely. When we lifted the table back up and the tile was on the ground, that was a moment of shock. And the feeling was, and it's the same feeling with all these other things that happen. You think something is solid, and then it just turns to sand and goes through your fingers, and it dissolves, and it's not there anymore. And that's a terrible feeling at the moment, and then you decide what you're going to do with it. And believe me, I've worked on this. I started studying Jane Roberts back in the 70s, Nature of Personal Reality. And so my whole life has been about how what you think creates what you get. And it's been a long road for me to really get to live this. Now I'm getting 3 opportunities in a row to really live it and get through it and stay keep my energy high, because, you know, if I let my energy go down, I'm just going to attract more of that to me. So,
and that whole concept, and you mentioned about it briefly with Abraham Hicks, and that really was my first introduction to the law of attraction. I mean, The Secret was out there, but I never got it. Mm-hmm. But when I started reading Abraham Hicks, Esther Hicks channels the entities that are Abraham, for those that aren't familiar with this, it is truly about what you're thinking about is what you're attracting into your life. Yes, we're going to go through, like, your shock, like Dale's going through a shock. You go through the shock, you process But then you shift yourself to this point of, all right, what do I want? And I think for anybody out there, reading Abraham Hicks to me is the pop culture way of learning the law of attraction, because it truly is contemporary to today. Whereas Jane Roberts and Seth, I love those materials. And you mentioned the Nature of Personal Reality. It's mm-hmm. one of the best books written out there on mm-hmm. the law of attraction, but no one knew it back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty out there.
Yeah, well, and it is pretty out there. I call that Harvard to Abraham Hicks being pop culture. It's deep, it's heavy, and it's truly out there. But it is all about creating your own reality. And you truly are a master of that over the course of everything that you've done in your life alone and what you're doing to help other people. So talk a little bit about how you've used that in your own life.
Well, you know, when I was younger, I was very dramatic, very emotional, and prone to martyrdom from the way I was raised. I was very prone to martyrdom. And I tend to have friends around me that would go, oh, you poor thing, that's too bad. Oh, you poor thing. And then as time went by and I evolved, I'd get more friends that say, well, yeah, that happened, but here's this. And so the friendships that I had reflected the shift within me. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that I have done that, of course, for me, it's voice of the soul. It's learning how to listen to your higher self. Now, I've been doing a meditation program with Marilyn Harper in the morning, and we've been discussing how to change the word instead of saying surrender, like surrender to God, surrender mm-hmm. to higher self. Surrender kind of makes it feel like giving up, whereas a newer way of thinking about it is expanding into the greater self. And mm-hmm. that's where your higher guidance that'll keep you on the right path is, and your oversoul. Jane Roberts wrote Education of Oversoul 7, which was, oh, this was fabulous.
That's if a anybody wonderful has, story. Has,
huh?
It's a wonderful story.
It's a wonderful story, and there's a trilogy. And when I tried to read the Jane Roberts material, like you said, it was like, oh, this is complicated. This is hard. Yeah. But then I read Education of Oversoul 7, and I went, oh, okay, now I get it. And so there was another book, 2150 AD, that I've tried to read again. It doesn't read quite as easily, but it was another one that helped shift my thinking about it and the importance of it. But actually living it is hard. So probably 25 years ago, I got this information about voice of the soul and how to, you know, touch into your physical body, touch into your mental body, touch into your emotional body, and really ask each one how it's doing, because as information comes to you, it's filtered through those different bodies. And like when you go to the eye doctor and they put different lenses in front, is that better, is that worse? It's the same kind of thing. If you're emotionally upset, what you hear someone say through your physical ears may be distorted by the state that you're in. So simple process, very simple process. Anyone can do it. It has nothing to do with religion or beliefs or anything. Just feel your different bodies. Ask how it is today. Ask what it needs, and then expand up into your greater self or your higher self. And then you'll get better guidance for, you know, taking you to the right place about something that anything that happens to you, stubbing your toe or losing your job or, you know, whatever.
So let me ask, because you're saying, and I want to go over this again because I think it's really important. You're asking yourself how you're feeling. You're asking your physical body, your mental body, your spiritual body. Did I miss something?
Emotional.
What? Yeah. Duh, that would be a big one. So you're literally talking to yourself and asking each one of those bodies how it feels or what's going on with it, correct?
Correct, because we think of ourselves as a whole being, but actually these different bodies, and there's more and more information out there about this now, operate somewhat independently of each other. Like if your back hurts and you don't acknowledge that, you just kind of push it out of your head. It's still going to affect you. So you just, it only takes, 20 seconds, touch in. How does my physical body feel? Which I usually do by wiggling my toes or, okay, so physical body. I mean, it is, I will say, it is hard to learn to feel the different bodies, or it can be hard, or it could come easily to you. And it really doesn't matter if you get a strong sense, as long as you keep asking and every day you ask, emotional one's the easiest one to get. The mental one will be like, oh, I'm slow thinking today, or I'm lickety-split, I'm full of ideas. There are different days. They used to do it with biorhythms. Remember those little biorhythm things?
Yep.
You'd get and twist it around and say, okay, my physical is low, or my mental is low. It's the same kind of principle. But if people would start to acknowledge that there are these different bodies and that they can influence the whole being, then you make progress. I think that's my belief anyway.
Well, and this is good to know, because you're sitting there and you're teaching us how to literally tune into ourselves, to the different parts of ourselves. So now we go, okay, physically I feel fine, mentally I'm a little slow, emotionally I'm drained. So you get those feelings, then what do you do with it?
You ask, what does it need? Like, your emotional body may say, oh, I just need a break today. I don't need to challenge anybody. I need to take lunch and go sit on the grass. Ask, what does it need? Your physical body, it may be simple, stretching. I may need to stretch today when I hadn't thought of it, but gee, stretching would really help. So, and the same thing with mental, it may be, do crossword puzzles to get your brain going again. Don't take on that big, don't be upset with yourself if you don't solve this big problem today. Wait till tomorrow, till your mental is working better. Just give each one the space that it needs, or, ask what it needs. That's what I do anyway.
Awesome. Well, and I love this, because as we're talking about, it's really, as we're dealing with life's challenges, as we're dealing with them and we're trying to stay positive by tuning into ourselves, asking those questions and what do we need, we're giving ourselves the space to heal, space to grieve, whatever the case may be. So once we give ourselves that space, then we free ourselves up to get back, like you say, to let the ball off the pressure off the ball in the water and let it float up to the surface again.
Right. Yeah. Exactly right. Yeah. Goal is to get back to the surface.
Get back to the surface. And it really is a simple technique when you think about it, even though it may be foreign to us to start with. It really truly is simple, because the only thing you're asking, the only person you're asking anything of is yourself. And you're doing that very gently by saying,
right,
what do you need?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh. I love the simplicity of it, and I also like that it focuses on us as opposed to what do I have to go out and do with other people or other responsibilities, all that other kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You focus, and what you're advocating is literally focusing on yourself, and you need that after a shock.
Yes, you do. You need it every day, really, but I don't do it. I had some dogs, and I'd take them down to this park, walk them in the park, and I'd get to this certain place under these magnificent trees. Mm. Presidio Park in San Diego is a beautiful park, and no one was ever there in the morning at all. And I would get to this certain place, and I would stand and do this exercise, just standing there. And the dogs always knew when we got to that spot, that's what we were going to do. And they'd just sit down and wait for me. They were great. They got into the habit. They got a sense of it. But now I don't necessarily have to go through the whole steps. What happens is I'll be driving around and I'll say, oh, wow, I'm emotionally not myself. Actually, I fell off my wagon. And when I was with my husband last weekend and we were driving to dinner to meet some friends, and I was upset about my other friend who just lost her relationship a couple days before. And I was being really snippy at him. I didn't like the way he was dressed, blah, 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 blah. So we stopped talking for a while. And then I said, you know, I have to admit, it's because I'm upset about this other thing. This is why I'm being aggravating to you, and I apologize. So I didn't have to go through the whole process, but just by sitting and being quiet for a minute, I went, oh, I am not myself. This is not me. And it's, you know, what is it? Oh, it's this emotional thing. So it gets easier over time, you know.
Well, and that's good to know. When we're sitting in something that is, like you're saying, you're responding to a friend's stress, and I get that. You probably respond to your husband's stress. But do you find, and I know you said it gets easier every time, do you find that there are times, though, when you have a hard time breaking that stress?
Yeah, because you do have to spend a certain amount of time exploring the source of the stress. Like, I was not willing to admit that this other situation was bothering me. No, I'm fine. And it wasn't true. I wasn't fine. I was very upset for her, and because she's one of my closest friends. And so it takes me sometimes like 24 hours. Like, I sleep on it, and then it comes more clear the next day. But, you know, I was throwing out barbs, emotional barbs, and I really don't usually do that. So I did have to just stop and be quiet and think about it and see what it was. But that was like 2 days after I got this information, so...
You know. Well, and sometimes there is truly a delayed reaction because you're processing. But I love what you're saying, and that's that, you know, you give yourself the time. And I'm like you. It always took me about 24 hours to get through just about anything that I was facing, and then I'd bounce back up. But as I got through the worst of life's challenges, which all happened at once for me, it took me longer. Mm-hmm. But when I realized I just needed to let all of those processes play out, so to speak, I needed to feel them, I needed to experience them, you know, you will come back up to the top of the water, you know, you'll surface again. You just have to be kind enough to give yourself that time and not beat yourself up, because that just makes it worse too.
Exactly. That's exactly right. That's why you ask, what do you need? And you may have to say that every day for a month, and the emotional body may say, I need to rest. I need to process. I need to, you know, leave me alone. Leave me alone. Don't push me. Let me be where I am. It may, you know, feel like that. It's not that you'd get those words, but you'd get a feeling like that. And, oh, I absolutely agree. I mean, I think a mistake a lot of us made in trying to learn this creating your own reality thing was to try and pretend something isn't there when it is, in fact, there. So... Yeah, it does take time sometimes.
I love the wisdom in that. Well, let's talk a little bit, as the show is winding down here, let's talk a little bit about Voice of the Soul. Tell everyone how you created that and what that's all about.
Well, when I was in my 20s, I used to use the I Ching a lot, which is the Chinese Book of Changes, and there are 64 possible little scenarios that you throw coins, or you can use yarrow sticks, but I used to use the coins. And I would ask, you know, what's going on with this situation? And I did it for years and years. And what I learned in time, a friend of mine and I were doing it together, and we'd so often get either the same hexagram or switch to the same hexagram, because you can get, it changes sometimes to another one if you have changing lines. Very complicated, hard to understand for the Western mind. The images are, you know, they're not of our Western culture, so people don't really know exactly what they mean. The one I did carry forward is crossing the Great Water, because that makes sense to me, which is expanding your consciousness. But anyway, so I did it, and then we got these calendars that said the Chinese week is 6 days, not seven. So we would do it every 6 days and say, okay, how's this week? And what I found was, if I was in an emotional state and asked a question, I would not get an accurate response if I did it when I was just, okay, tell me about this week, and there wasn't any big emotional attachment to it. It would be more clear or more accurate. So I decided, you know, since I had learned to do this and it seemed like a valuable tool to me, that I would make a set of cards, 32 images that it's a form of divination. You draw the cards, but they're all in some way positive.
Okay, Robbie, sorry, the show's almost over, but okay. Tell people they can find your cards at voiceofthesoul.org, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here. We obviously ran out of time, but I'm going to look forward to having you back and we can talk more about this.
Okay, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Robbie. And for everyone listening, have a wonderful week. And remember this week to tune in to what your own self is telling you and listen and be kind to yourself. Have a great rest of your week.